Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Tiso Elite podcast. We've dubbed this one, Save the Emperor. Who's the Emperor? I'm the Emperor. No, you're not. Because, yeah, I was watching The Simpsons before this, and if you saw the episode where they were in space and Homer hits the ants, and he's like, save the queen. Who's the queen? I'm the queen. No, you're not. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been busy this week. Can you tell? As always, let's introduce our cast. We have a returning guest who was MIA last week and couldn't talk to us, which I'm sure is full of crap, but oh well. So let's start off with Saint.
Oh, what's up, everybody?
Man, a few words there. All right, and then let's go to the one who was MIA and doesn't really like us anymore, Kind Death.
Hi, how's everybody doing? I have an apartment without a light, so I'm living in a little dark hole, aka Garbrix Dungeon. He moved me to a different room.
He's on the
west
wing now.
Took away my internet privileges for a week.
Yeah, he's on the west wing now. Took a while to get the cables over there. And now we have Chainsaw, who will be at every podcast no matter what.
Yes, I will be here. What's going on, my fellow Elder Scrolls nerds? What's up?
So, what have you guys been up to this week? I know Kind Death Bush said he had no internet for a week. Chainsaw, I think something was up with you. What about you, Sing? What have you been doing this week? Anything fun and exciting since Tuesday?
Oh, eating more cookies.
Eating more cookies? What kind of cookies?
Subway. Oatmeal raisin. Oh, the best.
They are pretty good.
I've been busy. I've been trying to stay active in the game, leveling a new character, a Dragon Knight now, when I can. I've been transitioning, taking over at work from my old supervisor, so it's been pretty hectic for me. Do what I can, though.
Well, not even a month into the game, already on an alt, eh?
Yeah, when we get to the Emperor topic, you know.
It's coming. We'll get there. We know what he's going to be waiting for. All right, Kai, what about you? What have you been up to this week?
Moving. And
well, physically, moving. Everybody moves every day, so.
Well, I moved a lot of my stuff. Like, I moved about 4 hours south of where I used to live and did it all by myself with my own car, so it was a lot of driving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So.
Anybody else hear that? I'm pretty sure I just heard a violin playing. Anybody? No?
He's mad There's at no you for one. Missing last week. Pretty bad.
So you moved. Now you're in a room with no light. You're going to fix that situation, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I got a... for some reason, Blizzard must have watched our podcast because they heard me trashing them about the fact that I've been playing their game since Warcraft 2 and I never get any beta keys. They gave me an alpha key for Heroes of the Storm. And I don't even like MOBAs, so... Whatever, I'll try it, I guess.
Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, it's actually fairly decent. It's definitely better than League of Legends.
So what's your MMO experience with it, other than League of Legends? Have you done any other MMOs? Or MOBAs?
Yeah, I've actually mostly played Dota 2, which I haven't played much of. And I try to avoid them just because the communities that follow them tend to be really nasty. Like, dude, you're terrible, and go... kill yourself and blankety blank your mom. So I'm just like, right. You kids have fun. I'm going to go play something enjoyable without you being around. But I don't know. Because it's an alpha, it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's the thing about MOBAs. And I don't know. It seems to be specifically MOBAs, but that type of game style definitely does harbor very vicious and...
douchebags.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to say the kitty attitude, but I mean, it definitely does sponsor or support the elitism in people, and I don't know why. I don't know, man. It's a weird genre.
It attracts like the jock type mentality in video games. So when you mix like keyboard warriors with like the jock, gotta be the best at everything. Not to insult any jocks out there. I like sports and all that stuff. But like that's kind of what it like the stereotypes that it reminds me of. Like imagine like your high school quarterback playing an MMO. He would probably play a MOBA.
I can picture it.
I was just, did anybody else just picture their high school quarterback playing an MMO? The hell is this crap? Where's the...
With his helmet on, like bashing things. Yeah.
And he would want to be the best at it. And he would make fun of you.
Yeah. I think Chainsaw knows because it's him. It's secretly him.
Yeah. No, I was the kid made fun of by the high school jocks.
Oh, admit it. We were all the kids made fun of by the high school jocks. What do you mean, no? Saints over there not shaking his head. What, were you the high school jock?
You ran with the gangsters.
I was a skateboarder.
Oh, you were a hipster.
Difference. This is 20 years ago. Skateboarders were skateboarders.
See, now I want to talk about The Breakfast Club because, well, I mean, yeah. Breakfast Club is an iconic movie, and I love that movie.
Yeah.
But
that voice you guys heard over there that was talking about the jocks, that was Chainsaw. What have you been up to this week, man?
Oh, man. So, I'm in school again, which I'm 27, back in school, and that just sucks. So I forgot how much work that you have to do because when I was – oh, my video just cut out. When I was, you know – 19 in college, I was like, whatever, partying, drinking. And now that I'm in it, I'm like actually doing the work. And it's just a lot of work. So I've just been kind of not been able to play this week. I keep seeing my video cut out.
It's like your power's going out or something.
Yeah, I don't know. What the hell? It's just bad luck. Every Tuesday it just goes out. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to play as much as I can, but I've just been so busy with work. So I got like a week left, so I'm like waiting for that week to end, and then I can finally play some Elder Scrolls like hardcore again.
Hey, we might be able to play at the same time.
Hopefully. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So I haven't really done much this week. Last week was I had some medical things I was prepping for, so we won't talk about that. We did a little pre-show about that. And apparently it was too much information for the people here. So let's get into our first topic. I was brought to the attention of a post that was made on a website that does harbor exploits. So I don't really want to sponsor the website, so I'm not going to say the website. But this person on this website was making a post about how he is a ex-ZOS employee, and he was fired or he quit. And as per him, fired / quit. To me, that means he was fired. But he was saying he has quote-unquote proof that ZeniMax has decided that Elder Scrolls Online is going to go free-to-play based on the fact that their subscription numbers are abysmal, spelt incorrectly, and that they felt the game didn't sell as many copies as it would have. Now, I'm more than certain this guy's a troll and not an actual ZOS employee, but he also goes on and says that ZOS has laid off a lot of its senior staffs. Actually, I'm pretty sure he even said half of his senior staffs. Let me just double-check that. Majority. Let go a majority of staff due to limited sales. Now, what do you guys think of this? Do you guys think this is potentially a legit person actually spouting off some inside information, or do you think this is just some guy trying to seek attention?
No. It's gotta be, right? I mean, how could you possibly know any of that information? The game hasn't been out a month yet. That's my take.
Yeah, the number crunchers at ZOS don't even know yet, okay? Like, there's no way this guy knows. And Garbrick, stop feeding the trolls. Stop feeding them.
Well, I was just curious about it. I mean, because it most certainly could be legit that some guy got fired and he just hates ZOS now. But, I mean, ZOS is the type of company that if you were fired or terminated or quit, you would be legally obligated to sign a NDA saying you can't speak. Even when you were hired, you probably sign this piece of paper saying if you're terminated, you can't speak about anything you see in this building. If you do, we'll seek legal action. I mean, I signed one of those at Kojigo, which is just a cable company. So, I mean, I'm more than certain it's a troll. But later on in the thread, I actually made on the official forums about this. Jessica Folsom actually jumped in and said, hi, folks, we don't believe this. We don't believe the person who made these posts is a former or current member of the ZeniMax Online Studios development team. There have been no such layoffs. So it's good that there's been no layoffs. And another interesting fact if you actually go to their website, let me see if I can find it. Right here, the shameless plug. Jobs.zenimax.com, and you search specifically ZeniMax online, there's got to be close to 15 to 25 jobs posted. More than that. Maybe 25 to 30 jobs posted there. So there's no way they laid people right. off.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Unless they laid them all off to then rehire them.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
But there's just no way there's any credence to anything that that guy has to say. It's literally the internet. I can say, guess what, guys? I work for ZeniMax. It's the internet, you know.
It is.
Everybody's gonna be like, kind of, you're an idiot, and just shut up, and which you do most of the time anyway. But the fact of the matter is if there's any even close to legitimacy to this, it's probably some guy who like was falling asleep at his desk, like eating donuts, like getting crumbs on somebody's computer, or like somebody didn't know how to was making like poor, like sexually offensive jokes, like coming on to women or something, and you know they just had to go, okay, you need to get out of here. Now he's angry that he got fired. That's like the only situation where this is any realm of possibility or even being reasonable.
So I would say the moral of the story is don't trust what you read on the internet unless it comes from a legitimate source. In this website, like I said, it harbors exploits, cheats, pretty much you name it, is not a legitimate outlet.
Yeah. You know, they're just looking for one person to believe it and then hopefully spread it like wildfire through the interweb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's garbage.
So on the topic of free-to-play and pay-to-play, I mean, prior to the game being launched, I'm pretty sure we were all major advocates for the game to be pay-to-play. Now that the game's almost a month old, what's your standpoint on it? Do you think the game can still harbor a pay-to-play model with the information that we know today? Like, this includes future patches that are coming out and the Craig Lorne expansion and future expansions that we know about. Loaded question, eh?
Yeah, right. Honestly, I'll take this first. Honestly, I feel like they have to give more content in order to continue this. We'll touch into it a little bit later, but they really, really have to keep up with their promise of saying new content's going to be out every 4 to 6 weeks in order for the subscription to maintain. I think it's great. I really like a subscription model. I like a game that offers new content, and 4 to 6 weeks is like lightning speed, really, when it comes to MMOs giving new content. But all of those need to hold true in order for this game to remain subscription-based so far from what I've seen.
What about you, Kyne? You're probably the biggest Elder Scrolls fan that we have here. Do you feel that this game can definitely harbor the pay-to-play?
I think this game seems to be doing pretty well considering, but I don't think that's something we can probably judge it until the second month of the game being out, and that's another 5 weeks from now. And we kind of have to see what they've already announced to us their plans with the Adventure Zone Craglorn and things like that. So they're keeping us abreast of what's going on in their development minds and what they're looking forward and what we're getting. I mean, really, if people have blazed through the content in the first month, that's not really ZeniMax's fault that people are sitting down like addicts at their computer. I mean, for those of you that are already veteran rank 1 through 10, I mean, that's just not the norm for the populace of the, you know, of the game. I mean, granted, I mean, I've sunk in like a good 6 to 8 hours a day minus this last week and 3 days. And I'm only like level 27 or something like that. So, and I mean, the fact of the matter is it's a brand new game. This is how MMOs go. You have to give it a little bit of time. You can't just rush to the end and be like, hey, more content. Where's my content? When the game just released, you know? And that's how some people are. Like, I don't know if I should butcher this guy's name. I might have been trolling his stream earlier. But it's just like, I listened to the guy rant about how the developers lied to us and they're not fulfilling their promises. And it's like, dude, the game's been out 3 weeks. You can't make those kind of accusations the same way that no company is going to lay off employees in their first month of releasing a game. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. I mean, this game could have completely tanked and like sold like 1,000 copies and they still wouldn't be laying people off that fast. It's just no way. Like, I don't know. End rant.
What about you, Saint? What's your viewpoint on the pay-to-play right now?
I tend to not speculate on things for a while. Like, I have patience, kind of like Kindeth. I hope they don't ever go free-to-play. I could say that much. I think the game has a huge amount of potential to be a great subscription game. I think one thing that could trip them up and cause it to go free-to-play soon is by rushing out content too quickly. I think they need to really work on keeping the subscription base or the subscriber base that they're earned through all the betas and by fixing the big quests, glitches, and bank, you know, all the shit that's causing people, all the stuff people's unsubscribing for right now. I already know two people that have unsubscribed. So, sorry, I'm still sick. I'm getting over it. I'm like, well, trying to breathe.
I think you both touched on, well, both, I mean, Kine and Saint, I think you both touched on some great topics, specifically people's unsubscribing right now because of bugs and glitches. I mean, I have yet to see an MMO that's released doesn't have any bugs and glitches. And I know it really doesn't fix the problem, but it's things that you need to expect. And unsubbing because of it, to me, just doesn't seem like a justified answer or a justified reason to unsub. Like I said, there's not a single MMO out there that isn't bug free, and I know this dupe that's going around is a massive issue, but again, I have yet to see an MMO that doesn't have a dupe in it or had a dupe in it. I mean, look at the one in Diablo 3. It cost millions upon millions upon millions of gold into the system. But because they had the real money auction house, it also cost people real money. And they made real money from this dupe. I mean, that is an issue. But look at the game now. It's striving now, in a sense. I mean, it's definitely better than it was before. Guild Wars 2 had a dupe bug. World of Warcraft had a dupe bug where if I traded my items, I jumped into an instance, DC'd, and came back, and we both had our items. I mean, that's a pretty big one as well. And like Kine said, you... If you play the game for what it is, there's no way you're going to be close to vet rank 10 now. There's just no way. If you skip the content, go through the quests, and just speed run it, yeah, you'll definitely hit the end game content, and you'll get bored, because the content's not there. But I would say the average level right now is maybe 45, maybe 40. Like, if you look at everybody, maybe even lower. I mean, not a lot of people speed through the game. Like, I used to, and I've said this before, I was actually planning on it until I started playing the game, and I got hooked. The storylines are really good. They're very well done. They get you thinking. They get you making decisions. But yeah, and I think Craiglorn will be released based off of their statistics. So they're probably looking at it going, okay, well, when's everyone going to hit this level of content? Because they don't want to release it for a fraction of the percent. And then have them bored with it by the time the rest of the population gets up to it, right?
I hope they hold off, to be honest. You know, 4 to 6 weeks is... It'd be kind of nice to have good new content like that, but I'd rather wait, you know, 3 months. It's kind of my internal time frame I've given this game is I'll subscribe for the next 3 months and see how it goes, and then I'll kind of determine how I want to play it after that, because if they keep releasing new content that's bugged and we're still dealing with bug stuff in the original content, that's going to be real frustrating. I don't know if I could support giving a company money when they're just like kind of throwing out unsatisfactory product for it. Even though they're doing it fast, it's still unsatisfactory, you know?
Yeah, you definitely want quantity over quality, because... quality over quantity. Take roll that back there, kind of. It's I mean, nobody wants to play anything that's garbage. I mean, if I got like 5 raids all at once, but they're all trash, it's not going to make any difference. And if I'm getting them every 2 weeks, who cares? Because they're garbage. So you want to have a quality product there and have quality content. And I think a lot of us kind of have in mind. Again, this comes back to like Star Wars or World of Warcraft or just that raid mentality that we've all been kind of, again, indoctrinated with is, you know, there's a raid instance, you know, it doesn't take that long to create a few bosses and, you know, put a little interior in this little dungeon. Well, this is different. This is an entire zone, you know, guys. It's, you've got multiple dungeons within it. You have NPCs, you have an entire, you have a capital city. Then you have the trials inside of it. This isn't your typical PvE endgame. This is very different from what's been done, or at least in the last 10 years in MMOs. This is something that not a lot of us are kind of used to. So as far as that goes, you know, like what Sane was saying, I completely agree with too, is like, if these bugs persist, you know, for another 4, 5, 6 months, and they're just not fixing a lot of these things, a lot of these things aren't major issues. They're minor irritances, just like, but they're not game breaking. They don't go like, I just can't complete what I'm doing now. You run to the wall, but there's like certain things that they end up patching those ones, though, you know, within a few days.
Except for like the ones where I heard somebody, Subs, I think his name is Subs in our guild, he had 110 bank slots, and then the bug hit and he was down to 60. Who knows where those 50 items went? He has no 50 slots that he's bought, you know, like that can be, I mean, you can rebuild that stuff, but I mean, the time that it takes and who knows what items you lost out of that can put people off pretty quickly if that continues to happen, you know?
Yeah, that's the server rollback thing was my big complaint, but they seem to have fixed that. So, like, there's nothing I hate more than wasting time, too. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to certain, at least it's not like 6 months to a year down the game where I have, like, a bunch of this really epic gear that I've just been saving or these cool vanity items stored in my bag, and it's just like, oh, gone. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If they don't fix that in 3 or 4 months when we do start getting that stuff and we're still getting hit with those, then, you know, that's going to be frustrating. I can go to Craglorn, but I can't keep my items because next week it's gone, you know.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I kind of wanted to take a different spin on it. Like, we've been so indoctrined, I'll steal Kinda's word, with rushing to the max level as MMO players to getting to that end game content, because, you know, I've seen the shirts, you know, wow, like, you know, the game doesn't start till 60, you know, and stuff like that. And as MMO guys that have played for a while, they want to get to the end game content. And the guys that are kind of taking it slower are like, oh, well, this is Elder Scrolls game. Like, I want to enjoy everything. I want to enjoy the immersion. Like, my brother-in-law, like, he's a big Skyrim fan, and he's coming over to this one and playing this. The issue they're going to run into is that people are modding Skyrim, and they're creating content for Skyrim. You can go on websites, and you can find quest lines and content and additional hours of gameplay for free for Skyrim, and they can mod it to play exactly like Elder Scrolls Online. So they're really going to have to come in with an angle as to say, this is why you should pay us $15 a month for this game if you're an Elder Scrolls fan, because we offer you this, which you can't get with Skyrim. And what they're going to offer is endgame content. And then, is it going to be worth it to the guys that don't want to rush to the end and get to that content, and they get to one content and they're, you know, 2 or 3 patches behind what somebody else is already playing? You know what I mean? Like, they're, oh, I'm at the veteran level 12 content. Well, there's already veteran level 18 content and I can't get a group. So I think that could be an issue or a barrier that they're going to run into, you know. And then Elder Scrolls 6 is slated to come out. And once that comes out, are they going to lose the subscribers that are saying, well, I don't really want to pay $15 because I can just pay this and I can let hundreds of open source programmers all over the world create content for me for free? So I think that's going to be an issue that they haven't really anticipated, but they're going to have to battle with for these converters. So they're going to have to satisfy the hardcore MMO guys as well as the Elder Scrolls guys that can get what they want for a fraction of the cost.
Mm-hmm. I agree to what you're saying. Like, I don't know if you've ever played Neverwinter or anything like that, but it's got that user-created content aspect to it, where you can actually create your own zone, your own quest lines, your own bosses, and your own storyline for it. And that's all player-driven. It's called the Foundry. And, I mean, it's a really cool aspect, but it's not what MMO players, I don't think, are looking for. Like, it wasn't a selling point after the game was launched. Like, prior to the game as a PR campaign, yeah, it was huge. But once it came out, I mean, the content that players create is subpar to what a developer can do. Like,
true.
And don't get me wrong, there are some fantastic mods out there for Skyrim. Like, there was one, some guy made this, he basically made an expansion to Skyrim. It was, what was it called? Far something. But he made it, like, it was basically his application to join Bethesda. That was what he did. And, I mean, there definitely are people out there that can create this content. But, in the grand scheme of things, if you took the whole, like, every mod that was created and basically averaged it out, the average would come subpar to what a developer can do in the same time frame, right? Because they have the money, sure. They have the people, they have the experience.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But on the topic of patching and getting things done, like, what's your opinion on ZeniMax's patching procedures? Like, I mean, they seem to be pretty good. Like, I would say there's about a patch a week minimum from what I've seen so far. And with the odd hot fix every now and then, like, they are trying to get the content fixed as soon as they can, or at least it seems like it. Like, what's your take on that? Like, do you agree with that, or do you think what they're doing is lackluster to what they could be doing? Well, obviously, none of us are programmers, so what they could be doing is speculation.
I like it. I like the speed that they are rolling out patches, to be honest. Even though, you know, every Tuesday you're kind of down, and then here and there an extra few hours. And I hope that even though what we see in the patch notes is what we're getting fixed in, that the programmers are not, you know, just ignoring the rest of the stuff. That's my hope, is that even though we see the smaller fixes hitting each time, every week, behind the scenes, they're still working on those bigger issues, and one of these patches come up, it'll hit and be fixed. And that'd be nice, especially early on in the launch. I think maybe down the road, of course, you'll see a lot less of these and you won't be affected as much. But for now, I think it's good.
Yeah, this current patch, I feel like last week we kind of bashed the patch. We're like, well, I didn't fix anything. And then, just going through, like, this week, they're trying. And there's just so many little things that, you have to take priority. And I feel like they definitely did it with this patch. What was it, like 105? They're trying, and it's awesome. And they're fixing the game up, and it's getting cleaner and cleaner every time you go in. So that's awesome.
I think a lot of the complications that are arising out of the patching system is when we think of patching, it tends to be far simpler when you have one server. I mean, having played World of Warcraft, once they started linking the servers together, which weren't server merges, because Blizzard won't use that word, but they're effectively server merges, they started having a lot of these similar complications too, because I think that the mega server technology that they're using is the servers communicating with one another, and I think that's the reason they had problems like with the rollback. It's kind of like they're switching your data from one server to another to accommodate more people coming in or people going out, and they're trying to balance it out, and what happens is all of a sudden you get rolled back. Well, I think I'm not a programmer either, but this is just I can only imagine the sheer complexity of connecting that many servers together into a cloud type system to run a game as immense as The Elder Scrolls Online. The sheer fact that it's even working, if you really think about it, it's pretty amazing, especially for a company that's brand new into MMOs. So that's not me just being like some ZeniMax fanboy or something. It's so difficult so far, as companies like Blizzard haven't even tried doing that with World of Warcraft yet. You know it's coming, but that's pretty complicated technology.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have a bit of a server background myself, and I think I would give anything to go see their data center. I mean, I just think it would be awesome to see their setup and what they do in Texas. I'm really curious. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to this, but does anybody know who's actually hosting their servers? Because I know they're not ZeniMax owned. It's third party, and it's I think it's Texas.
Probably China. They own half the U.S.
And the one is in Germany's
May or June. They were going to try and launch at you.
Try and push them over. And that one's going to be in Frankfurt. But kind of, you were talking about how it seems like they're trying to focus on getting the feedback from the players and getting the servers up and running. Jessica Folsom made a post on the 21st about upcoming patches and what they're going to be changing. And this isn't something that you usually see an MMO company do, when like giving you information of what's going to be changing in the game ahead of time, especially in a specific patch. But they were saying it's a direct result of our feedback, which I think is great. We're going to see things like missing bank slots, stored banked items, and skill slots. Obviously, that's a big one. Long loading times and social lag. What's the issue with that? Have you guys experienced anything like that?
Yeah, after that first patch Monday that they did, I believe that's the one that said they were fixing the loading screens. After that patch went through, I got home and it took me 10 minutes to get into the game still. So I was kind of confused. And then I was trying to stream at the time, and there was a guy in the chat that couldn't get in at all. So, yeah.
There's one change in here that I think is awesome. I think it's a step in the right direction. It's the dungeon chest change. Have you guys read this?
Is this... No. Where was this?
This is a change that's... It's on the front page of our website. Upcoming patch notes. But it's a change that they're doing. So right now, if you go in a 4-man dungeon and you loot a chest...
Yeah.
The person who picks the lock gets the items. Which I didn't have an issue with. Like, I mean, I didn't really have a concern about it. But they're changing it now that everybody in the group will receive an item. I mean, I think that's a really good step, especially with the way their loot system is now.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I mean, to me, it really doesn't change, because I feel like when I was in a dungeon, I said, oh, there's a crappy so-and-so in this chest. But that's cool. It means that they can, and maybe they'll look to do that with other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, usually when we do a guild group, we're usually pretty good and say, you know what, this is what's in the item. But I've noticed in the pugs, they just take it and book it. Don't really tell you what's in it.
Right. Especially because, you know, the voice chat, too. You know, nobody's going to type it out.
Exactly.
I don't feel like typing it out. Yeah,
exactly.
So that helps.
And another really interesting change is the public dungeons and delve boss monsters. They're making it so there's essentially a timer on how long there's a lockout, basically, in a sense, that you can't receive loot from a boss mob in a dungeon or a delve after for a specific set amount of time. I think this is a direct result of the botters and the farmers.
Yeah. Because that's annoying, man. Like we said last week, when you go in that public dungeon, there's like 30 dudes standing waiting for this one mob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seemed to me like they would only respawn when a new person entered. That's what it kind of seemed to me, because sometimes it would spawn real quick and then other times it wouldn't spawn at all. So it made me think that maybe there was a mechanic that every time a new individual stepped into the dungeon, it set a spawn timer or something similar to that. But now it seems like it can spawn more frequently and you just kill it, but you don't get anything, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
What do you guys think about those two changes, Saint and Kane?
I like it. Good changes.
Man of a few words.
I'm slightly worried in this game. Well, maybe it's not such a problem, but it seems like there's a little bit of loot saturation going on here, because you don't have that bind on pickup kind of mechanism that most MMOs have. Granted, you can deconstruct it, but does that lower the value of some materials for crafters then? Are people able to craft a little bit too quickly? So everybody being able to have access. I mean, how many MMOs do you really know out there that were everybody has everything? You know, you just everybody gets to loot everything. Usually it's, you know, you have to sit down and divvy up who gets what.
I think they tried to make it a little bit more saturated because there's no worldwide auction house per se. You know, so you have to have a little bit more of a chance to get some items that normally you'd be on the auction house buying, I guess.
Well, even with people...
They have PassWellEat.com.
Even with people being able to get loot off of every kill, I mean, it's not going to guarantee that you get the item that you want, right? So you might go in and you need a resto staff, for example, but you kill the boss and you get a crappy two-handed sword or something like that, right? So you get the replayability is still there in that aspect of loot. I see your point in the sense that, okay, if it doesn't drop for me, maybe somebody can just trade it with me. But again, that kind of promotes the whole aspect of the game about it being social. Like, that's why there is no global auction house, is because ZeniMax wants the players to engage with other players. It's why legendary items don't drop, because they want them.
Well, I guess my problem is, and I started to talk over you.
No worries.
There. My issue comes like when Kraglorn launches and drops, are we going to be able to do that? Like all that top level gear, is this going to be like just like the delves like this? Because then there might be potential issues. I mean, right now I don't see it as a big problem either, because I see that almost as a kind of a way to appease like the Skyrim, Morrowind, Oblivion crowd too, because they're not really used to the MMO system of sharing their loot. You know, you pick up whatever you want to wherever, and if you those players that come in, they're like, hey, what the hell? That's mine. You know, that could be problematic for Sauce. So
I think it's the fact that there are so many items. Like, I mean, you can go through I can go out questing and fill up my inventory and come back and have literally one of everything, because it's just such a wide variety. And I think that allows it to go, since there's not so many unique items in the game, that allows you to saturate it, as you said, a little bit more. Like, I'm thinking back to the WoW, right? Like, you go through a dungeon and you know you can get specific blue items. Like, in this game, there's every item can potentially be a blue item, and every item can potentially be epic and legendary. So there's just that variety that allows you to fill more. But I do see what you're saying with Kraglorn. Like, that could be an issue, because that's just such small content with such a large number of items. Could easily oversaturate the situation.
Mm-hmm. Unless they made them rare, like the top end gear just being rare, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, until we see it, we can't really say much about what loot we're going to get. Was there anything specific in the new patch 1.05 that really stood out to you guys? Anything that's worth mentioning before we go to the next topic?
No, I didn't really notice any of the issues that the patch fixed. I didn't see any of them, so I was like, all right, cool, good for the guys that it fixed. I'm happy for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't see anything for me either. I mean, I haven't played the game in almost a month. So basically, when I look at the patch notes, I just look to see what the changes to the temple are, and there are none, so I'm good. I'm happy. Stop laughing, it's not funny.
Garbrook likes to watch me play from outside my prison cell, you know, downstairs. He just cries. A single tear cascades down his cheek. Slowly.
That's how you get your drinking water. The more you play, the more you drink.
Yeah.
So, we were just talking about Kraglorn. They're going to be introducing new veteran rank content with the release of Kraglorn. As well as new veteran levels, so 11 and 12. What's your guys' thoughts of going from veteran rank 1? So when you hit 50, you go to vet rank 1, and then you go to another area. So you either go to AD or EP. I think we go to AD first, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so we go to AD. But you're being placed into a level 1 area with level 1 abilities. I mean, you just finished doing level 45 plus content that enemies and mobs are doing multiple different attacks to you. Like, they're actually doing their synergies, they have better abilities, and they hit a lot harder. And then you're getting placed into a level 1 area that really doesn't do much other than basic attacks. What's your guys' thoughts on that? We'll go with Chainsaw first.
Yeah, I think it's kind of lame. I was a little disappointed. Now, I'm strictly talking about questing zones, because the veteran dungeons will rip you apart and then wipe the floor with your entrails because they're crazy. But that stuff is cool. The all new bosses in the dungeon, that stuff's like all different. But the regular content is just like, oh, well, even, you know, I don't want to spoiler, but it's not really a spoiler because everybody knows you go back to the zones. But Caldwell's like, oh, they're going to treat you like they've never seen you before, and you're wet behind the ears, and you're not a real adventurer. And it's like, well, dude, I just did my whole group story. I saved the world, blah, blah, blah. And then you go back to the AD one for us, and you're just doing the beginner zone quests, but now everything has a little shield next to their next to their name. And it's just, it's kind of disappointing. Like, I really wanted it to be different, and I really wanted there to be a lot more going on. Like, I'm veteran now. Like, I'm a badass. Like, I got a costume in the mail, and it's purple, and I'm going to put this on, and I want to go, and I want to do new quests and kick some ass as a veteran. And I'm not. And I'm, it's like I just rolled an AD character. And I'm just a little disappointed with it. I wish they would have put more thought into what it would have been like going to the different zones as a veteran, as a champion of your faction, you know, because that's what you are. And then you go somewhere else and you're treated like a peon, a little pissant. It's just, it's a little disappointing for me.
Hmm. What's your, I guess you don't really have much to say on this, Akon?
I see what Chainsaw's talking about. I obviously haven't gotten there yet, so it's hard to judge, really, being that, you know, I'm an outsider looking in, because I haven't been able to play as much as I want to either, but it's, I think it's, we're kind of, in a way, it's kind of one of those things that's a double-edged sword. Like, it's cool to be able to see all this content with a character you've been playing with. Because if you go to other MMOs, you just don't have access to the other faction storylines. Like if you play Star Wars The Old Republic, even if you're within the same faction, you don't get some of those stories. You can't get them. Like if I were to play, I can't remember the classes, Helming Arabic, you played. Like if you're a Sith Lord, you know, you're not going to have the same access to certain quests as a bounty hunter on the Sith side. Or on, if you're on World of Warcraft, you're not going to be able to see Horde quests that are Horde specific. So the ability that they're letting you take this one character with your bank and all your items, you don't have to reroll. That's kind of a nice thing. But at the same time, it kind of takes away something special, you know, from having that unique experience for your character too. And like Chainsaw was saying, like feeling like you're a badass, you know, and how do you really feel like you're a champion of your faction if you're going to some other faction and you're becoming kind of like a peon serf, whatever you want to call it, you know? I don't know. That's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of funky.
Kind of funky. What about you, Saint? Do you think it's funky?
It's even worse when you don't do the quest, like read the quest, when you just click through them anyways. So you're just like, you're just trying to like get through them as quick as you can and gain levels. What I'm kind of curious about is, I'm only level 36, so I haven't gotten there at all yet. But I'm curious how the experience works out for you in PvP. Because in my mind, I'm kind of thinking I'll hit, you know, veteran ranks, and then I'll really get heavily into PvP, gain experience through that, do the dungeons, I guess, and the vet levels. And, you know, experience the everything other than the questing part of things in the vet levels. And maybe go back to that when I'm a higher vet level so you can kind of breeze through a bit easier or something. I don't know. But if it's slow gaining XP in PvP at vet levels, then that kind of blows that theory out.
Well, I think gaining levels in PvP is all dependent on how active you are and how active the campaign is. Yeah. I mean, I know our campaign has picked up quite a bit in terms of AD. I don't know anything about EP yet, but from what I've seen, AD's definitely been active. So I think if you're playing properly, you should be able to level up decently in PvP because it's pretty active. But
and that's kind of what I'm thinking I'll do is I'll do the vet dungeons because I like dungeons, but then I'll be big in the PvP and then, you know, gain my levels and go back to the beginning quests when I'm like vet 5, vet 10, who knows?
Well, sorry, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Right.
I wrote an article back on April 28th of 2013, so almost a year ago. And it was called 50++ Experience Everything. It was basically me ranting about how I kind of hate the 50++ and how I feel it was a bit of a cop out in terms of adding content for endgame. Without being able to experience it, I can't really say if my opinions were justified or if they were accurate. But I from listening to you guys, it definitely sounds like it is. Like, I think there's no sense of when I wrote the article, I was discussing how there's no sense of faction pride. I mean, if you start off as DC and you're learning about how bad these other two factions are, and then as soon as you finish your faction, you're now playing AD and you're learning about how bad DC is and how bad Emerald is, I mean, where's your loyalties? Right? It starts playing with your loyalties. I mean, I was originally going to be playing Elden Ring Dominion until one of the beta weekends they released a new zone in Ebonheart. I decided to try, and it turned me off. I didn't want to play AD at all. So if they have those types of zones throughout AD and EP, it makes me not want to play DC. I'm going to be a little upset. I mean, I want my faction to win. I want my I'm proud of my king, and that's why I fight for him. And I mean, I guess it sounds a little bit roleplay-ish, but I want to be able to say I'm part of Daggerfall, and I hate the filthy hobbitses that play on AD. And I think with the 50++ content, I think you really lose a big portion of pride in your faction. So, I mean, I'll link the article in chat if anybody wants to read it.
Yeah, I entirely agree with that, the lack of pride. Like, I remember when I wanted to first start a character and we were like, well, we're going to go AD. And I was like, well, I want to be a Nord because that's not AD, but I wanted to be, you know, like the exiled Nord from Ebonheart, you know, whatever, like a lore thought process in my head. Like, you know, he's no longer part of them and he's starting a new life as whatever we're doing, Daggerfall. and now it's like, oh, well, now you get to go back. And it's like, well, I don't want to go back. Like, my dude is a badass and he hates the Scald King. And if he goes back, he's going to start saving his life. Like, it takes away from. I feel like such a big part of Elder Scrolls is lore and immersion, and you create this character that you want. And then it's like, well, now you got to go back and be friends with everybody that you've just spent the last 50 levels pretending that you hated.
Well, and that's why I'm okay. Trying to think about doing the PvP part instead and like the whole questing. But go ahead.
Yeah. I see. I don't know how PvP goes with that. I only was in there for a little bit, and it didn't seem like I was gaining a lot. Veteran ranks go slow. They go super slow. You gain like minimal from killing mobs, and then the quests are really the only thing. And the other thing is, like Kine said, like in WoW, like I played Horde because I didn't want to play Alliance. I didn't want to do their stuff. I played Alliance when I first started, and I didn't like it, and so I went to Horde, and I wanted to play that. Like, I'm thinking, like, Stranglethorn Vale. Like, we had a base there, and, like, we used to kill Alliance because they didn't have a base there. They were just kind of hanging out. They had a little griffin guy up in the north, and we used to hang around Nesting Faringway's place and murder him.
I hate you.
And that...
I hated you guys.
I was Alliance, like, too, sorry.
So that's what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't want to play Alliance. And you're missing that. Like, we chose DC. I don't want to play anything else but DC. But now I have to go play the quests. And if they were different, that would be cool. If I went in as a champion of DC and I was like, look, MFers, you better listen to me because I just saved the world. You know what I mean? Like, that would be cool. But you don't have that. And you... It's so upsetting because it's so awesome leading up to that, and then when you get it, it's kind of disappointing.
Well, let me interject here with something, like, because I've been reading and paying attention to all the quests. Like, I haven't read all the lore books. I'm just kind of collecting those, saving them for like a rainy day when I kind of get bored and want to flip through them. And I don't know, probably one of those days I'm like sick and have chicken noodle soup and I'm like drooping out the corner of my face. You know, I'm just like, oh, I don't have the energy to play, but I'd like to read some lore. One of those kind of days. Yeah, I'm weird. I know. But a lot of the quests kind of. Even between like the Mages Guild and the Fighters Guild, and even the ones that aren't centric, all the ones that aren't centric to your alliance are basically saying that these alliances are really just a kind of a concoction of Molehog Ball. He wants you to enter fight with each other instead of saving Tamriel, because when you fight each other, you become weaker as a whole, and that's kind of the whole. Well, spoiler. Sorry. Sorry. Oh. I just realized that was a complete spoiler.
Well, and I was reading the quest so attentively.
Yeah, I know, James. You're heartbroken, I can tell. Well, I didn't spoil it too much, somewhat.
It's fine. You're low level, so it's okay. Most of us are past you.
Right.
And yeah, I haven't played in a month.
Yeah. Well, but I've been quest.
Well, then fill me in on what I missed.
Where did you track that? Where was I going? I forgot.
Molehog Ball.
Yeah, it more or less. You got to kind of think of in the terms of what story are they setting us up to tell a story later? You know, is this going to be part of the story later? Is this something we're going to see with the content with like the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood when that comes out and in the theft patch? You know, or maybe it kind of makes me wonder what their overall goal is, especially when they allowed us access to any of the races in any faction. Are they just going to kind of dissolve the factions except for in the PvP sphere? I don't know what's kind of going through their head. We're going to have to kind of see it because this is kind of, again, it's kind of funky. But it's you got to think about it from the perspective of the single player Elder Scrolls fan too. And they're not used to having factions because there's not factions. You do whatever you want to with your character. You know, there's not any any of those games. I know Garbrick doesn't know because he doesn't play single player games. Jab, jab, punch, punch.
I play real games.
There's no Ebonheart Pack or Daggerfall Covenant or Aldmeri Dominion. You know, there's small little factions inside of each one of them. But you're just because you play a high elf doesn't mean that you couldn't join up with the Stormcloaks in Skyrim, you know, which are completely Nord based, you know, and you can kind of do whatever you want, wherever you want. And I think that they kind of had to have that available at the same time to those players. Otherwise they would be very upset. So it's one of those things that they're trying to ride a fine line again. And I don't know. I feel like they definitely could have implemented it differently and made it more engaging for sure. Cause it kind of feels like a cop out, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy at being an altaholic. I mean, I literally have like 10 level 90 characters, all alliance of a different, of each race or each class in World of Warcraft. I mean, I played my alts, but this game doesn't really feel like an alt kind of game to me. I kind of, because there's so much you can do with your character. You're putting points into professions and you're putting your skill points here and there, and you're kind of building it and tweaking it and doing what you want with it. I don't know if I'd really want to play more than one character. So it's good in a sense and it's bad in a sense. And again, only time will tell in the mind of kinda where all things are magical and empty up here.
What about you, Saint? Do you have anything?
Nope.
Well, you brought up the topic of alts, and I don't really like talking about alts because I tend to rant about them. But this whole able to explore the other two factions and going through their exact storylines, don't you think that kind of kills the aspect of an alt?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it does. What's the point? Really? That's how I feel.
There's a point to an alt.
But not if you're into the storyline. I mean, you've already experienced all three factions on one character.
Well, the storyline, yeah. But as far as playing different roles, I mean, if you wanted to build a tank, I guess you could kind of be a tank in almost any different class and character, but maybe not as good as what you could with a different type, or vice versa, you know. As a healer, I mean, Templars are like the best healers, right? Templars and sorcerers. Mm-hmm. So if you roll that as your main, but then you're like, wait a minute, I want to do a DPS or a tank type role, your Templar and your mage might be okay at that, but might not be the ideal choice. So
what about you, Kain, Mr. Altaholic? not sure. Only time will tell.
Yes. I just don't know. I feel conflicted as an Elder Scrolls fan, but yet an MMO fan who likes his alts. And there's at least some way they could have tied it in, you know, like give you like little hints where these like maybe...
Oh, cliffhanger.
Oh.
Maybe what?
Wait for it.
Oh, he's going slow motion.
He's moving.
It looks really interesting, whatever you're saying.
All right, so if anybody's watching this on iTunes or YouTube, you got to hit us up live because this is why. So now we don't know what he was going to talk about. He was hanging from a cliff, and that's we'll have to tune in next week.
Now he's just confused in the middle of the screen.
he'll be back, hopefully. Oh, no.
I'm back.
There he is. Oh, there he is. You gotta turn your cam back on.
What? I haven't. Oh, God. There. Where did you guys lose me in the middle of my rant? Because it was a good one.
There was a cliffhanger. And I don't know what you were saying.
I don't remember either.
We don't really know what you're saying most of the time anyway. So.
We don't really listen to you.
That's okay. You guys are just here for my red beard. I get it.
You really just went like this, and then it was kind of all lost.
It's true.
Oh, I was saying they could at least tie it in a little bit better. Like maybe there could be a couple of NPCs that would recognize you when you go down to another faction, like a traitor. Like maybe you run into a Khajiit down in the Aldmeri Dominion that knew you from Daggerfall City, and they have you on a side quest and go, "Hey, dude, I recognize you. I won't say anything if you go do this for me." You know, just things like that would make you feel like, "Oh, all right, yeah, I'm still a badass." But from what I'm hearing from people, there's not anything like that. It'd only take a few quests to do it, too. You know, just to kind of link that in. But there's kind of like what I'm hearing from people is there's just kind of a rift. You know, just kind of like you're basically plopped from one faction and plopped into another one. And I don't know. They could have done something better. But as far as me playing an alt, I don't know. I'm not. I like RP, but at the same time, I don't know if I can justify and rolling another character and just not, I don't know. I'm conflicted. I'm like Bieber. Oh. Canada, America.
No, Bieber's American, by the way.
No.
Yes.
Sorry.
Nope. Bieber's American. I'm pretty sure you guys lost the hockey tournament. That was the deal. If America lost,
Sweden,
you guys kept Bieber.
Didn't you beat Sweden? You can give them to Sweden.
They're neutral. Nobody takes them. Sorry. Did you want to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to say, Kai was talking about the NPCs, and real quick, Asuna and somebody else, Death Metal, said you can tell, like, the quest, like, right in the beginning when you go to the veteran con, you can tell them, like, oh, I'm the champion. I killed MB and whooped his ass. And they don't believe you. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, go kill some mud crabs for me. So it's like they tried very, very lightly, but it just didn't pan out.
Go kill
for
some
whatever reason. Yeah, so yeah, okay, you're an idiot. Yeah. And just a Khajiit too, so it's even more annoying.
Well, champion, go kill that mud crab over there. He's a tough one. Yeah.
Maybe he's blazed on Skooma, man. Don't hate. Don't knock if you haven't tried it.
So we're talking about how the 50++ zones are kind of dull and stale in some aspects. Do you think that's going to lose the hype of the game? Like, there's a lot of promised content, but the content we have currently is, like we said, it's lacking and it's stale. And eventually, I've been hearing a lot of people getting bored of PvP, and I called that from the beginning. So, I mean, it feels like I'm bashing on the game again, and I know it feels like we all are. But it's just, we have so much respect for the game in every aspect that we really want it to be something that I don't think it can be, at least not yet. But what do you guys think? Do you think these aspects of the game, the 50++, the PvP, do you think it's losing its hype? It's losing, we're finally stepping out of that that honeymoon period?
Maybe a little bit. The PvP, PvE is lacking, just, you know, leveling up your character. And, you know, part of it's my own fault because I leveled my character and now I'm at veteran content and it's just kind of like the same old stuff over and over again. You know, but the PvP is definitely getting a little stale and I don't know what it is and I don't know what they can do to make it a little bit more interesting. The PvE, I can understand. More content has to come out because they don't have any endgame content for you at all. Once that starts coming in and flowing, and we'll really see how it is. So I can understand that. But the PvP, it's fun, but the same thing over and over and over again. To me, that's how it is to me.
Well, weren't you saying you were predominantly a PvE player before you came to Elder Scrolls, though, Chainsaw?
Yes, true, I was. But the PvP was so fun. Yeah, I know, right? I'm a hypocrite. The PvP was so fun when I jumped in. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I was like, oh, this is okay. Oh, this is the same. And then that's kind of where I'm at. So I don't know. You know, I know I know Saint's like a big PvP guy, so maybe he feels completely different than me. But from a PvE background, that's kind of how I feel about it.
What do you guys think? Is he? Is he
I'll
accurate?
Jump in since he called me out a little bit. I can see it. I mean, so in our campaign, for sure, it's almost like which alliance is on that night makes a big push, and you're really playing against mostly NPCs, and that gets old. Once you figure out the routine and you have enough people to do whatever you need, it does get kind of old. But I played PvP for a handful of betas before launch on Ariel's Bow, which was full for every alliance. And that was, I mean, I could see it being somewhat stale because it is. I mean, you're just going after keeps over keeps, you know. But when it's Zerg versus Zerg, and almost any time you jump into the campaign, you have full Zergs going against full Zergs of both alliances, more of the strategies come out because then you see you really have to pay attention to what the other two are doing against each other to see where's your opening, you know, and where you can go next, and then what do you need to gain back, and it's more of a fluid back and forth instead of on our campaign that's kind of bare, where you go in and you could spend 4 or 5 hours taking out the smaller alliance enemies and the NPCs and gain like 6 or 7 keeps. You log in the morning because your guild or your two guilds worked on, they just took it all back. You know, and they did the same thing against our NPCs. So it is kind of monotonous on a less populated campaign, that's for sure.
I think my issue with the PvP comes down to it feels a little too Zergy to me. And when they originally announced how they were going to do the PvP and associated with Dark Age of Camelot, they said certain things like you were going to do like escort quests, you know, like you're going to help escort caravans, you know, small group stuff. Well, that never really – they never really implemented a lot of that. I think if they added a little bit more medium, small group stuff to do so it wasn't so – it kind of feels like it's all or nothing. Like you're going to find a big group and be successful and kill stuff, which is – that's one aspect. I mean – I think if they just had like different aspects, so if you kind of got bored of that, I mean, you can always go around and gank people solo if you're certain specs, but like that small medium content, I think would give you enough diversity so it wouldn't feel stale. I think if they implemented something like that, it would be a little bit better.
Yeah, and in the busier campaigns when you have a lot of Zerg groups, it really does kind of free you up. You know, you're almost always able to find a group that can go and do kind of like special ops missions and just harass the enemies in their territory and find these stragglers and just kind of create your own fun with it or join the Zerg groups and stuff like that at the same time. In dead campaigns, you don't really have that option. So,
and I think, too, with the PvE, I really think that it's even though you get boosted up when you jump in at whatever level, I think really it's meant for veteran 10. Like those quests that you get, it says, you know, solo missions, go scout. Group missions is the group of 4, you should be able to take out a resource node. And then with a larger group of 12, you can take out a keep. So I think maybe the issue is there's so many players still leveling that you can't just jump in with 3 of your buddies and take resources because some of the guys are only level 20 or 30. But if you have a group of 4 talented veteran 10 players, I think you could definitely take out, you know, a lumber mill. And I think that would add – and that would be more fun too because then you could PvP really at any time. Now I feel like the best PvP that you get is when there's a big group. And if you're lacking in an opponent, you know, like you said, like we all Zerg it and we kill – not Zerg it, but we all get all the keeps and then we wake up the next day and they're all lost because they were the West Coast and they logged on 3 hours later and took everything that we did. So I think maybe end game PvP is more fun.
Well, I'm glad you guys brought up the PvP and talking about it. And like I said, I wrote an article and I called the longevity of PvP. I wrote an article for MMORPG, and of course, I'm going to toot my own horn again. and I'll link it in chat. If you guys ever write articles, you can go ahead and throw them in the chat. I don't mind. Shameless plugs are the best.
I'm going to write an article that bashes Garbrick. Just constantly. I was referring to that all the time. Be like, hey, read this article. You know, I think Garbrick's a loser or something.
So I wrote an article describing the longevity of ESO's PvP, and I foresee it changing. They pushed it out the same way Dark Age of Camelot pushed it out the first time it came out, but they revamped it. They introduced the realm ranks and stuff like that. What ESO is missing in sense of keeping players engaged is there's no carrot dangled in front of the player. I mean, yeah, there's alliance points, but they're not focused on enough. They're not publicized. They're not used for anything other than buying simple siege weapons. Whereas with Dark Age of Camelot, your realm points were... It was a leveling system as you leveled up throughout the ranks. With each rank, you earned a realm point. Those realm points you spend on realm talents. Now, some of the talents cost 5, some of the talents cost 15. I mean, you'd have to level up 15 times in order to buy this thing. Like, that's a carrot being dangled in front of somebody. And that's what needs to be done. I mean, look at World of Warcraft. It is still the biggest MMO out there. And everything you do in that game is a carrot being dangled in front of you. The dailies. Every daily you do progresses your goal towards something. Especially now. I mean, when dailies first came out, they were the most useless, stupid things that just mind-numbingly boring. But now your dailies have a carrot that's dangled in front of you. And I'm going to use that reference because it's the best reference ever. But you need something to chase. You need the donut. You need a goal, right? And that's something ESO's PvP doesn't really have. Or at least that's my view of it. I love the PvP, don't get me wrong. I think this style of PvP is what MMOs need. And no other company other than ZeniMax and Dark Age have actually accomplished it. I mean, Guild Wars did, but it's horrible. I mean, that's just because the game style is horrible, but that's for a different podcast.
Well, I agree with you, Garbrick, but there should be a little bit more incentive there for you to... It kind of goes back to what Chainsaw said. It makes you feel epic. It makes you feel like a badass. You know, and say, hey, look at what I got. Look at this sweet gear. You know, it shouldn't just be exclusive to just kind of the Emperor or, you know... I would say titles are important too, but, I mean, the titles in this game are kind of hard to see up there unless you're staring at that one spot all the time, I guess. You know, watching people's health bars constantly and not really paying attention to the rest of the screen. But I think the real big problem with PvP, like I was saying, the small and medium content, but like Saint was saying, there tends to be very wild swings, like, you know, back and forth. Like, I'll log on 4 hours later, we just took everything, now it's all gone. And if they were to increase, like, the cost of trebuchets or catapults and that kind of thing, maybe doubled them, tripled, quadrupled the cost of those, so not so many people could have those, and make it more of you really have to have that resource, and it's really an investment. It'd be much harder to, I think, to take those keeps, and it would make it more engaging and give you more of a reason to defend. Because what's the point in defending if, you know, people can just walk into your keep and just take it so quickly? You know, it kind of ruins the point. It shouldn't be so easy, even if you have a huge group.
Well, and then along the theme of what you were initially saying, and like the dangling of the carrot, but the sense of pride type of thing, I've noticed that theme is kind of prevalent through the whole game. You don't get a guild tabard, you don't get a guild crest, you don't get something to show your pride of what guild you're in. You know, they say the keeps, like your guild can own the keep, but if it's gone every 4 hours, if you're not on there consistently defending it, that doesn't matter as much. Plus, with the amount of crafting guilds and trading guilds out there, the guild stores, I think, are almost not even used, really. I mean, ours really isn't. I know you could just jump in a 400 or 200 member trading guild, and their stores are pretty busy, so nobody needs the ones in any keeps, you know. I think there's a huge lack of pride, things that you can get for showing pride, you know. Something to accomplish and show that you've accomplished that is really not in the game at all, really. Really. I'm saying really a lot, too. Somebody really said it again. Really.
Really. Yeah, I think PvP is the only thing that's really lacking something to take pride in. Like, you get the Emperor, and you get the Elder Scrolls bonuses, but like we've been saying, those flip-flop, especially on our campaign, they flip-flop so often. Like, if you're a crafter, you know what you're getting. Like, hey, look at me, dude. I'm the only one that's crafting legendary gear. You know, I'm crafting this. I got a lot of good options as to, you know, I put work in, I get this. With PvE, you know, not in the early stuff, but the veteran stuff, like, you get epic drops in the veteran dungeons. You get good drops. There's points to doing veteran dungeons. You can get good gear. With PvP, it's like, oh, well, one guy in our campaign is the Emperor. Well, what does that do for me? Like, I don't care. I'm not going to be the Emperor. Like, I'm ranked 6,000 or whatever on the list. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, a dude that's like the bottom of the list. Like, well, what do I care if I PvP or not? Like, I don't get anything out of it. I spend all my alliance points and all my gold on trebuchets, and then some jerk that I don't even know becomes the Emperor for 2 hours. You know, there needs to be more incentive with that. Everything else has it. Why not PvP?
Except for the guilds. Guilds, I don't see it. I mean, it's like you said it last week or somebody did. You know, it's just like a glorified chat room type thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I still feel that way.
Yeah. I could toot my horn about that one too, but I won't do that. Hint, there's an article on our website about guilds.
I told you so.
No, actually, I was just the whole article is just about how guilds and guild pride and how what guilds should be and stuff like that. But you guys brought up a really cool, not really point, but a really cool topic I want to talk about. Emperor and how we flip Emperor quite a bit. And Saint's over there shaking his head.
We're going AFK.
So on the topic of Emperor, what's your guys' opinions of, like, I don't want to say, is it balanced, is it unbalanced, but let me know. What do you guys think of it first? Like, let's start off with Saint, because he's going to go AFK after he rants about this.
I don't know. It's hard to say for sure if it was that broken. So first of all, let me lay the groundwork. We logged in. They had every keep and every scroll. Aldemir Dominion did. So, you know, that's the way our campaign swings. We've seen it before. So we're like, all right, let's get our group together and go take some of this stuff back. We had about 20 to 25 of us at one point in our group. And then there was another guild that had a small group that was working with us eventually. And we go to take one of the keeps back. And we run into the Emperor that's on that campaign. And turns out he was a veteran for Dragon Knight. And so we figure it's one guy. He might have like 3 or 4 friends with him. And there's 25 of us. We got this. No. The dude left his keep and wiped out our whole party in like 20 seconds. And it was like, I don't know how much of it is his build, his rank, or all the buffs that he got from the scrolls and the Emperor, or just all of it combined. Because I'm only level 36, I can't say that it might be a bit easier if we were all veteran rank, you know, and you wouldn't see. I don't know how much of a difference that would make, but it demoralized. I haven't been back at PvP since, to be honest. I actually, on topic of faults, I created a Dragon Knight. So, whatever, man. Don't judge me. So, I don't know, you know, what it was, but it was ridiculous, and it felt completely broken at the time.
Well, I've read on the forums that this is a particular complaint that people are saying, that the veteran rank players in PvP just seem to be incredibly strong compared to anything that's 50 or below. So that there might be some balance issues there as far as that goes, Saint. I was reading through that just earlier today, matter of fact. Just lines of people, even on Reddit, there's just people complaining like, this is completely broken. Why are the veteran rank people so much stronger than we are?
And so. And the frustrating thing, I think, for me is, I don't know about the frustrating thing, but my seeing into the future. Before and the way they're that. Yeah, also I was gonna say that, but it sounded dirty. So
that's foreskin.
Thanks. So expert. So anyways, the speed at which they are implementing patches is good, but the patches that I've seen, and then you know, aren't the big patches yet, and then. Not to mention, they probably don't have enough of a sampling of veteran ranked players to really gauge the balance issues in PvP yet. You know, you're not going to get that for a while. So if there is imbalances, and if this does turns out to be turn out to be a fairly big imbalance as far as the class goes, Dragon Knight and Emperor buffs and Scroll buffs and all that. And even when we do get to veteran ranks, he's pretty overpowered. That's probably not going to be fixed for months. You know, that's going to be in the back burner until they get samplings of how strong each character is at what level and with what buffs and equipment and all that stuff. So, I mean, you're going to see overpowered characters in PvP for a long time. I can see that. And so I made one.
Can't beat him, join him.
Do either of you guys have anything to add to that?
Well, let me just say, 2 weeks ago on this great podcast, I told you guys that I kept getting my ass kicked by the guy that was the Emperor, and both you were like, "No, man, we beat the Emperor. It was easy. No big deal."
We did.
Yeah. It's called that karma. I told you they're OP, man. Like, as long as you have a character that's Emperor that is decent at PvP, they're good. And the fact that they're veteran ranks, like, I'm terrible at PvP. And when I went as a veteran rank one, like, I just hit it. I had like a couple crafted items that I had made, and I went in, and like, it was easy. Like, it was just like killing people, and it's like not even a big deal. That because everybody that's you know got their little boosted level, it's they don't even compare, because there will never be, if you are not veteran rank, you'll never be comparable to a veteran rank because you only scale up to 50. Veteran ranks have 10 levels where they can get badass gear and skill point, you know, you get all those free skill points and health and everything. So yeah, I mean, it's broken, but it's sweet if you're a veteran.
Well, don't they get, is it plus 10 to every stat, or is it plus 100 to every stat for every vet rank?
I don't remember. I don't know. I didn't make a note when I saw it when I leveled, because I'm only veteran rank 2, so I've only done it once. But when I go to 3, I'll make sure I note, unless somebody in the chat can tell
us. Yeah, I think it's plus, I want to say plus 10, but for some reason 100 stands out to me, and I don't know why.
I don't know if it's 100. That seems like a lot.
It does. But for some reason, it's you know, I don't know. It's, yeah, sure. All right. So, would you guys say the Emperor is OP, or do you think it's a leveling boosting problem right now?
That's hard to say, and I think that's going to take a while to know, you know.
I think that it's a mix of both. To be an emperor, I mean, obviously, to be an emperor, it's pretty tough to get that. So it should be pretty powerful, but it's, I mean, mixed with somebody that can PvP, you know, that's freaking dangerous. I'd be the worst emperor ever. I'd be getting my ass kicked. Because I don't know what I'm doing. But somebody else, like, that has some PvP background, like I said, man, they're dangerous.
Well, just to put it in perspective on top of that is, that was outside of the keep that this was going on. So eventually, our two guilds that were in there grouped together, so we had approximately 40 to 50 players, they went to take the second keep, and the Emperor and like 5 of his friends were in the inner keep, and 50 people couldn't take it.
Wow.
Like, it shouldn't be that, you know, that overpowered. You should be able to, 50 people should be able to beat 5, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how he would fare against, like, you know, can he solo, like, the lumber mill? Can he just go to a lumber mill and take the whole thing down?
He did.
Yeah, well, then that's obviously overpowered. Well, you shouldn't be able to do that, no matter how good you are.
I'm looking at the talent trees here. Under the Alliance War section, there's Reach. Increases abilities, increases range of all abilities by 15 meters. That's not what I wanted. Never mind. I thought there was an ability here that would increase the amount of damage you do as long as you're near a keep. Maybe it was just range.
I think it's, well, it's in support. There's something that's like after you take something, you get,
after you take a lumber mill or a resource, yeah, you get.
Yeah, I see that there. Continuous attack. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm just full of it. Okay. Never mind. So let's. I mean, we've pretty much covered all the hot topics. There's one topic I kind of want to discuss, but I don't know if all of you guys are going to be able to throw your input on it. I know Kindeath is definitely going to throw his input on this one. there was a pretty big YouTuber that released a review today. It's a 30-minute review, and I mean, he's got some valid points, but I think some of the points that he touched on, I don't think are valid at any means or hold any weight. When I watched it, it felt like it was a review from someone who hasn't been following the game. And I mean, the guy he's a huge YouTuber, so he might not have been following the game because he is so busy playing other games. So he just jumps in, plays this, does a review on it. But what did you think? I know kind of, you know what video I'm talking about. I think all three of you guys are, right? You know which video I'm talking about?
Yeah, so I linked it.
Okay,
I didn't watch it.
So it was the Angry Joe review. He reviews games for YouTube, and I want to know. I personally didn't think it was a very legit review. It, like I said, some of his points definitely hold water. Some of the other ones, it's like sitting in a paper bag. It really doesn't work. But what did you think, Kyan? I know we talked about this off stream this morning. What was your feeling on this review?
My feeling is, why do I care what this guy thinks? Because the fact of the matter is a lot of gamers, and this is true of all of us to a certain extent, we've all become very fast food gamers, you know, even in our society. You know, you see it with, like, you know, it permeates all aspects of our society. We just tend to throw things, instead of fixing things or sticking with one thing, if it becomes a little stale, we just throw it away and look for something new. And I think that's kind of, in the way of video games, I think that's what you're kind of seeing with a lot of the current MMOs. You know, somebody picks it up, plays an MMO, and goes, you know, how can you seriously review something as large as the Elder Scrolls Online or an MMO within 3 weeks and say it's complete and utter average and the game is terrible, you know. Not to mention, he gave it like a 5 out of 10 star review, and he said it was an average MMO. A 5 out of 10 stars—that's a 50%. That's a fail. And if I've done any kind of math before, a 7 would be an average score. So maybe he meant 7 out of 10, or maybe he's just—I'll just say it. Maybe he's retarded. I don't know. You know, I don't particularly care for the guy anyway. Let me be frankly honest. I mean, you can probably tell by my demeanor. But
well, he'll never be on this show.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't break my heart. Well, or maybe I'll just sit off and you guys can take me out for a show and you can talk trash about me. I mean, obviously, I don't have the kind of people that watch me as him. You know, who cares about my opinion either? But really, I mean, none of you got anybody but watching this or listening to the podcast or watching the vodcast. You know, you really shouldn't care what any of us think. Not Garbrack, me, Chainsaw, especially Saint, because, you know, he's a Mexican gangster. But all hail the Ginger Moon Rising. You know, Laz is probably watching somewhere. All hail. But I mean, really, it's why do we put weight into reviews of video games anyway? It's just like if I go watch Rotten Tomatoes or read through the reviews, I'll be like, oh, I don't want to watch that movie because it's got a bad review. Then I'll go watch it and be like, that movie is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Then I'll watch something that gets a 95%. It's like, what? Like, oh. But the fact of the matter is he reviews this in like the most dirty, biased way. It makes you feel like he's getting paid off or something. You know, it's just, I was reading through. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I got some kind of conspiracy thing, like on my shoulder, just like talking to me going, it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy. Maybe I'm just hearing voices. I don't know. That could be possible too, but I'm reading through other reviews too, like on PC Gamer. Like, it seems like all the big magazines are just like trashing. Haven't even touched PvE Endgame yet, which anybody who reviews MMOs knows that that's basically where everybody at MMOs goes, is PvE Endgame. Not PvP Endgame, not leveling, not questing, not doing anything else, just, you know, basically raiding. That's where, who would be playing World of Warcraft now, right now, if it was for just the PvP or the leveling experience?
There's a leveling experience? Don't you just pay for
it? No one. Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, so how can we even judge without Kraglin even being out? So it's just preposterous. And there's my fourth or fifth rant tonight.
Do you guys have anything to add to his slight rant?
I didn't watch it. I've seen him. I mean, his name is Angry Joe, right? So you kind of go into it knowing what you're going to expect.
He has a reputation.
Yeah, you know, he's got a reputation. But let me just say, I didn't watch this one, but I did watch a recent video that he did on EverQuest and EverQuest Next. And he talked about how he was really enjoying EverQuest, what's that, Landscape? Landmark.
Glorified Minecraft?
Yeah, right. So he's saying that's good. It's you're running around creating things or not creating. I don't even know. Like, it's the whole EverQuest Next situation kind of blows my brain a little bit. I don't really know. But the fact that he was like all about it, and then I find out that he's hating on this game, which I just he bears no weight for me. He's, you know, one of those guys that he's getting viewers, and a majority of these YouTube reviewers and video guys that have all these views are not from people that enjoy them. They're from people that they're from trolls and people that hate him. That's the truth of the internet, people. If you have a lot of viewers, a lot of them don't like you. That's why we only have 7 viewers.
Well,
unfortunately, it's mostly true.
Sadly, it is. And I mean, negativity on the internet is what's going to get you views. I mean,
or cleavage.
Yeah. Or cleavage. And just, I mean, I don't want to touch that one because that is definitely a hot pocket topic with some people. But on my old YouTube channel, my most popular videos were the ones where I was giving a negative feedback on certain aspects. And it sucks because 90% of my videos are usually positive or explaining mechanics or how certain things work. But when I was doing some of the angry videos, the rant videos that I used to do, they were the most common, like the most popular. And I'm fine with that. I mean, they were monetized. I was making some money off of it, but I don't use that YouTube channel anymore, so now I make no money. But it sucks because look at Diablo 3. Diablo 3 now, like I said, it's a decent game now, but when it came out, what reviews did you have for the game? It was all negative. I mean, you rarely saw a positive review for that game. And I mean, as a game, as a standpoint for the game, I enjoyed it. I mean, I beat the game in a week, and that's like Inferno mode. I beat it, and it wasn't my game, but it was a good game. And like Kyan said, why do we put weight into reviews online? I mean, everybody has different tastes on a game. It's what we expect from our game is what we expect from the game, not what you expect and not what you expect. I mean, when we were doing the podcast or streaming the beta events, people were asking us, well, what do you think of the game? I'm like, well, I like the game, but that's not a reason for you to go out and buy it. I mean, wait till the game comes out. Try the trial. If you like it, buy it. I mean, it's, if you listen to someone's word to tell you to go buy something, you're probably going to be let down. I mean, unless you have friends in it. It's just the way it is. Don't. And I don't read reviews. I watch what the game companies put out there, and I base my decision off of what they're doing, not what someone else is saying. And I mean, yeah, like you said, there's YouTubers out there that do it just for trolls. I mean, if anybody knows who Kruparian is, he's probably the biggest troll out there, and he's got tons of people following him. And frankly, I don't think he's that good. I mean, that's my opinion. I just don't. But he's huge on stream and YouTube, but it's because people feed him money and items and stuff to make him look good, but he's not that good. Anyways, on topic.
Yeah. I'm calling everybody out today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The hate machine.
Yeah.
You know, and one more thing. Let me just say, this Angry Joe guy, he went out and he was like, join my guild. We're going to be the best PvP guild. And he's talking about how awesome a PvP they are. It's like, well, shut up, man. That's all I got.
Wait, whoa. He has a guild in ESO?
He's got an Angry Joe's army. And he's like, oh, we're going to be so great. And then he just goes to bash the game. And it's like, well, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to get all these people in and to support you in the game so you can go in the game, you can be the emperor, and you can spam your, you know, impulse in PvP, or do you really not like the game? You know, and it's just like little things like that that it makes me upset that they're just using the game and using this channel for nothing, man. If you like the game, you like the game. If you don't be a dick about it.
Well, it comes down to, like I said, it tends to be, we like to nail people to the wall for this, as you know, people and individuals. We watch cable news and go, why is it always negative? Why is it always negative? We can't stand. Why don't they put something positive on there? We hear about, you know, towers crumbling or people getting murdered 24/7 on CNN. Well, it's the same kind of thing with these kind of reviews. You know, it gets hits. Negative reviews get hits, and people pay attention to that, and they're more engaged with that than positive stuff. People don't like hearing the neon cat reviews. You know, it's just a little cat with a Pop-Tart, you know, with its rainbow bounce around. It's go, ah, boring. I'd rather see something burning and crashing. You know, that's why I watch NASCAR. You know, it's you don't watch people to go fast and who wins the race. I'm watching for the crash, you know, the pile up of, you know, 15 cars. Is this people's mentality? It's just kind of how we are as a society now. Heck, I think the video I gave to Garbrick when I was first talking to Teso Elite, I got like 500 and some views on that video. And that was my first YouTube video. Now I create videos there that are like positive reviews. And it's just like, don't care what you have to say. You know, you're not ranting.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
What do you think, Saint? You've been pretty quiet on this topic.
Nope. That's about my third or fourth note for the night.
Man, a few words.
I haven't seen it. I haven't really watched it. I've heard the guy, and I think I watched a review of his from something else, and I might have got like 30 seconds into it and stopped. I've never been one to pay attention to reviews, movie, TV shows, books, like nothing. I don't know. I just, if it seems like something I want to enjoy, I'll try it out for myself and then make that decision on my own. I don't know. I ignore a lot of that stuff.
I aspire to be more like Saint. Why do I care? I just hate myself more the more I care.
Oh my god. All right, let's jump into the build of the week. We've been doing this for an hour and a half now. Let's jump into the build of the week. So the build of the week this week was suggested by, I'm going to totally screw this up, Shenton Wolf on Twitter. So he's looking for, or she's looking for, a Dawn's Wrath Templar with two-handed group spec. So he wants to be able to group up and do content. Unfortunately, my build was about four abilities and I never got a chance to finish it. So we're going to jump to you guys. Were you guys able to come up with a really interesting Dawn's Wrath Templar with two-hander group build? Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Oh, Saint's going to go first. Man, a few words.
Yeah, am I able to link in the chat now as a moderator? Oh, shit. Okay, so I went ahead and linked mine in the chat. I tend to try and build a skill sequence in battles. So I set mine up to where it has a chain. The first skill is the Solar Barrage that does some damage to nearby enemies, but it also gains your next attack 50 weapon power and 50 spell power, which sounds like it could be pretty strong. And I followed that up with the two-hander Wrecking Blow that always does... Nope, that's not the one that does crit, but it does the stun. So, it, you know, adds some CC to it, but it also does the damage plus the extra weapon power that was added. And then I chained that into the reverse slice to... You know, with the next, like the, sorry, the Wrecking Blow also has a increased power on your next attack again, so by 46. So the third attack is also increased, you know, to chain three big damage abilities in a row. And then the last two skills are kind of threw in there some sustainability, one of them that does some healing for the allies around me, and then one that does some blinding to kind of protect yourself while your Wrecking Blow and Reverse Slice are on cooldowns kind of thing. I couldn't come up with what would be a good second weapon to use in the build. I mean, I don't know, it's as a Templar, you know, I guess the healing or Resto Staff might be good for the group. Also the two or one sword and board might be pretty strong for that kind of build, but I couldn't decide, so I just left it at that.
Quick stop to a Resto Staff would be pretty good, actually, just in case you needed that added heal. But I mean, he's a Templar, you could just use a Restoring Light Tree for the group heal. What was your build there, Kine?
Well, I kind of went with two-handers because I didn't know we were able to have a different weapon for the weapon swap. So, here, I'll paste it.
You went for true two-hander.
Two-handers. Yeah, so basically I have to have two of the same weapon or something close. I guess the whole... You said kind, not chainsaw, right? For some reason, I'm hearing...
Yeah, you're the one who's supposed to be talking.
Okay, that's good. Sometimes that doesn't happen.
No, he's been getting himself mixed up.
Yeah. It's been one of those days. It's because there's no light in my room or something. Or just give me some water, Garbrick, you know? Dungeon's dark and, you know, a man gets thirsty, okay? You haven't been crying enough today. As you can kind of see with my build, is the first setup I have is kind of more based around kind of doing AoE damage and cleave damage. So that was kind of my group setup there. It's I'm not going to read through the abilities. I'm just going to kind of give a general gist. Some of those are basically when I interpreted the word group, looking through a lot of the skills, there's not a whole lot of synergistic things that I kind of saw about two-handed with that build. So I just kind of basically built it in such a way that when I weapon swap, one of them is basically kind of AoE damage and a little bit of assistance. And when I weapon swap to the other two-handed, I have some crowd controls and some stuns, and I have one heal on there too, so I can assist their group with that. And when I'm not in that mode where I'm trying to CC and stun, you know, if I'm CC and stunning, I have a chance to heal here and every once in a while. But if I'm in DPS mode, I want to help out the group by just kind of cleaving everything. That's kind of the general gist I was going for with it. That's my 30 minutes before podcast build.
Yeah, pretty much.
The blinding flash ability, that'd be really cool if it was like a sort of like Mage's Light where it's always on. That'd be really cool, but it's not. I would find something like that really hard to use in combat. You'd always forget to either put it up or have it active. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially because it only lasts 4 seconds.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I used that one also because it was an instant, though. Like, you could just, middle of your other skills, you could just pop that mm-hmm. one. That's also why I did the first skill in my build, the Solar Barrage. When you level that up, it's an instant as well. So you could basically spam the provided you have the Magicka, spam the Solar Barrage so that your next attack is always going to be, you know, an extra power of 50 for it, for that damage. But I like the instant ones.
Yeah, definitely my first weapon there is more based around using stamina, which is why I picked medium armor too, because there's a lot of stamina boosting with the medium armor tree. So that's just kind of like an accessory. Like, most of the time I'm going to be using, you know, my cleaving abilities. That's just kind of to drop it down for a little bit of assistance while I'm in kind of ransack everything barbarian mode.
Oh yeah, my guy's naked. I forgot about armor. Sweet. I don't need armor. Let's do this.
Doing a Laz build.
Yeah. He's the emperor. He doesn't need to do anything.
Mine was the 10-minute before podcast.
What about you, Chain? Did you do anything different between the two builds that we have already?
Yeah, I did, and then Kain stole it. No. I had the two-handed. I set mine up. The first one is kind of like I said, like a DPS build. I got the charge in, the critical rush, and then the reflective light. You know, everything's kind of instant cast, and the idea is really just dealing your DPS with your two-handed. But I tried to use as many Templar abilities as possible. And then I switch over to the second-hander, and that's the idea is to hit rally before you critical charge to have rally run up through the whole fight. And then that second bar is more of support build. There's a heal on there, purifying ritual on there, just because I thought that'd come in handy. And it's got that dizzying swing to keep enemies away from you, so you can heal your party. And the ultimate is the heal. But they both had a finisher on them, which is pretty important when you're running with two-handed weapons, just because they're so massive and you need that extra damage. Because I've been noticing that you deal less damage with the two-hander than you do with like a dual wield. So having a finisher, the biting jabs for the top bar, and then the reverse slash for the bottom one up to 300% is pretty badass. Mm-hmm. And I chose the Dark Elf because the one ability, the reflective light, deals fire damage. So I thought it was pretty cool to give them that extra fire. And then the Dark Elves give the stamina and magicka together, since you're utilizing both. And armor, I think I chose the medium as my 5 set, and then either light or heavy as your 2 set, depending on if you wanted to roll more melee or more magic based. But I would go medium 5 and then light or heavy as a 2. But that's it. I think it's pretty basic build, but it could prove helpful and fun. I think I like it.
Yeah, I like the finishing moves. Those are nice add-ons, and I mean they're pretty brutal too.
Yeah, they're definitely necessary. Like I was running a 2-hand build with my Dragonite for a while, and you need something strong like that. But now I'm running dual wield, and it's awesome. By the way,
so this is a little bit off topic from the build of the week, but looking at these builds, it made me think of it. What's your guys' opinion on the heavy use of magicka in every single build? Like, it doesn't matter what build you have, you need magicka. It's every ability is magicka unless it's a weapon ability. It seems to be stamina.
For me, with my DK, it seems that they've built it in a way that's like really smart. So my magic abilities are dots. They deal damage over time. So I just have to use them one time. I don't necessarily have to spam them. I can spam my stamina abilities, and then by the time I'm ready to reapply my dot, my magic is restored. So I have, it seems like it's pretty heavy on magic, but then I'm like, well, at the rate at which it's replenishing, it actually works out. It works out really well. I don't necessarily know how that goes for other classes or other builds, but the builds that I've done so far, I've never run into a situation. I shouldn't say never, but I'm dealing with having little magicka compared to my health and stamina.
Now, what about you, Kind of? Because I know you play a dual wielding class, Nightblade. Thank you. How do you feel? The combination with magicka and stamina and not being able to have a full stamina build that, say, you could have in an Elder Scrolls game?
Actually, I have almost all my points in stamina. I have, like, 4 points in health and 4 points in magicka just because I wanted to boost up my magicka pool just a little bit so I could use some of my abilities. But I find myself running out of stamina more often than magicka, actually. That could just be based on my build. Because my weapon, especially when you get to level 15, you have that weapon swap. I find that I use that tilde key fairly frequently and swapping back and forth. But I've noticed that a lot of my abilities are actually the dual wield abilities rather than, theoretically, you don't even have to pick any class abilities, do you, at any point? I mean, you won't have any good ultimates, I guess, but I don't know. I at least to right now, I'm not high level enough like Chainsaw or anything like that to really say too much because I haven't gotten enough points. But
what about you, Saint? You're a little bit higher than him.
I think if you build smart, you won't have too many issues. Really, you look at what you're going to focus on and where you're going to want to get most of your damage from, what skills you're going to be spamming to do that work. And then you focus in that tree for your skill points. And of course, I don't think you're going to see like a full on stamina skill set or full on magicka skill set. So then the other two that you're not putting your points into, you just find the right skills that go with the other ones that you're choosing that use, chainsaws dots that you don't need to spam in order to use them, if you complement your main skills with a couple efficient skills for the other, magicka, if you're a stamina build, then you'll end up being pretty fine. Overall, the people that have issues are not the ones that are kind of comparing all the skills that they have available and coming up with a good set that can work with each other like that.
So you guys don't think that? Because I really don't think any character can go a full stamina build without having some sort of handicap in an aspect. I mean, you have a magicka pool. If you're not utilizing it, then you're at a disadvantage versus someone else, right? Do you think that is a bad design aspect?
I don't think so. Like, I'm not high on the Dragon Knight level yet, but I've noticed that the couple of Magicka, I'm doing the Sword and Board, so I'm using a bunch of stamina for those types of skills. So I've gotten two Magicka-based skills that I'm using, and I use those. Those are mainly like the CC, you know, the Chain Pull, and then the Dragon, or the Talons, that kind of thing. And those aren't going to be ones that you're going to keep spamming. I mean, once the guy's pulled, he's already to you. Or once he's taloned, he's already stunned, and now you can just spam your stamina skills on it. If you're going to try and throw, you know, three or four Magicka things in there, then it kind of takes away the weapon set that you're trying to use for that type of a build. And vice versa, if you're a spellcaster and you try to throw a lot of stamina skills in there, then that kind of takes away from what you're trying to do as a spellcaster. So,
yeah, this game definitely seems to be like balanced around, you know, I don't know. I've kind of tried to tinker with like kind of more of a pure build. I know that's kind of what you're kind of going for, Garbrick. And it seems like it does kind of penalize you a little bit for doing something like that. It's almost like you really want to have some of those weapon abilities mixed in and balanced well with your class abilities. You can't just go heavy class abilities or heavy weapon abilities because you're really kind of hamstringing yourself. I think that's probably by design, but at the same time, it kind of forces people to be hybrid in a way, too. So, I don't know. There's a lot of I don't knows from me tonight. You
know. A lot of I don't knows, a lot of rants. Mm-hmm. What about you, Chainsaw?
Typical Tuesday.
an all-stamina build would be interesting. I just read Asuna's thing. He said, I run a dual-wield Dragon Knight and only use one stamina ability and run out of stamina far too soon. I use two and I never run out of stamina, and I think that with the red guard and any class, really, it doesn't really matter because you're not using any class abilities. You could do a stamina build because they're stamina machines and they are awesome. And now I'm really interested to go in and maybe make like a red guard Nightblade and just use weapon abilities and see if that would be viable. Put all my points into stamina and health and just stack stamina. Because you'd be putting out massive DPS. Like, are the class abilities really that important? I'm kind of curious now. I think I might do that. Just thinking about it.
Oh, he's going to start getting the altaholic
going. Yeah, just have all, like 13 red guards or 8 on all red guards. I love them. I think the red guard is the best class in the game or best race in the game. They're badass. Stamina is awesome. It's highly underrated.
Well, does anybody else have anything to add other than how horrible the Red Guard is? No, nothing. Awesome. Nothing. All right. I mean, we've been going for nearly 2 hours now, so I think it's about time we wrap this up. So we'll go round table, we'll do some shamelessness because that's what we are. We are shameless. So we'll start here with Saint. Do you have any shameless plugs this week, Saint?
Yes. I want to mention that there is a contest the crafters are putting on for TESO Elite. It's on the forums. Basically the forums. We need people to get active on the forums because the guild communication, I mean, there's chat, but there's really not much else to communicate things through the guild in-game. So check out the forums. The crafters are doing something. They're giving away motifs. The high-end motifs, or even a full set of 1 through 9 motifs is available. The details are on the website, or on the forums. Also check for the PvP forums. We're looking to do another PvP event this week, likely tomorrow, basically, because of schedules and stuff. Hopefully we don't run into VR4 Dragon Knight Emperors and work. So, look into those forums for us, and I think that's about it.
What about you, Kai? Do you have any shamelessness? Do you want to be shameful?
I'm just overwhelmed by my shamelessness. You can follow me at NaderSmater on Twitter, or on Twitch TV. It's twitch.tv/kindeath. I just put out the second episode of Control-Alt-Elite. You can check that out on TESOElite.com. If you guys have any questions or anything you want me to answer in kind of a mailbag format, send them to me at on TessoElite.com, or you can send them to me at kinddeath@gmail.com. I set up an email account for that. My guild, Sodality of the Cairns, is recruiting. It'd be sodalityofthecairns.engine.com. I'm sure Garbrick will probably, he usually does that with the chat, types it in there. I can hear him typing right now. It's probably because I can hear all the noise upstairs. The terrible noises.
Nightbot's apparently not active.
Again.
He's on hiatus. He hates you.
He's what a lazy bot. That's like the laziest bot I've ever seen.
He is, isn't he?
He's like drinking a 40. Yeah, I'll get to it, bro.
Yeah. There's something else I was going to add there, too. Oh, I'm going to try to do Control-Alt-Delete on Tuesdays. It seems like that's... It seems to be their big maintenance day. Did they announce anything else other than that, Kerberg?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's just kind of been Tuesday, so that's where I'm probably going to drop them. That's it.
What about you, Chang? Are you shameful this week?
Not really. Man, I've just been so busy with schoolwork. But, hey, apply to the guild, tsoelite.com. We're looking for active PvE players. We're really looking for, you know, some... hardcore PvE Kraglorn guys that really want to jump into it. I'm really excited for it. I cannot wait. That's my main dig, is PvE. So apply to the guild. All classes, all roles are needed. So that's all I got.
Also need some PvPers too.
Yes, and PvPers. Apply to the guild. period.
And make sure we'll your application isn't sparse.
Yes, fill out an application, you know, for real. Because we want to make sure that we want to hang out with you. You know, we're always on Mumble, we're always in the chat. So if you think that you would get along with any of the guys on the podcast or the site, throw us the application.
I like that. And I am Garbrek. You can follow me on Twitter at Garbrek. You can follow me on the website, tsoelite.com at Garbrek. You can send me an email, garbrek@tsoelite.com. You can follow my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/Garbrek. What do we have going on this week? Well, this week and every following week, we have a screenshot contest where you can submit your screenshot contest or your screenshot to the contest, and the winner will receive 5 Elite Gold. Now, you say 5 Elite Gold is not a lot, but it adds up really fast and get your chance to purchase an ESO time card or computer peripherals such as keyboards, mice, hard drives, whatever we put up there. The screenshots will eventually be used to have a TSO Elite calendar. So we'll have like a TSO Elite community calendar of all your guys' screenshots. That'll also be on the store for Elite Gold. What else do we have? I believe that's everything site-wise.
Give props to Laz for that idea, too. He needs a little bit of credit, I think.
Yeah, Laz thought of the contest. That was definitely all Laz. So yeah, props to him.
He's probably going to do like a fireman pose for you, you know. We'll throw him up on there for you.
I actually thought about that one. That was one of... Because he originally threw the screenshot idea to me. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I also thought about doing a calendar idea. It's like having like... Cause you know how you do the fireman calendar? They're all like half naked and stuff like that. But using TSO Elite or TSO characters and doing it, I thought it'd be hilarious. Yeah, I know.
You should do that with the podcast guys.
Speaking of screenshots, we need to get the podcast guys. We need to get the guild guys. We need to get We need to get that screenshot. Yeah. So hopefully you guys will see me in game soon. I've been tracking with FedEx. They said they might have found it, so they're just awaiting confirmation. It sucks because I'm dealing with the guys from Ottawa and they're dealing with the guys from Phoenix. So yeah, fun. Yeah, so that's it this week, guys. Appreciate everyone coming out. If you're watching this on YouTube or iTunes, definitely check us out live. We do this every night, every week, Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. on twitch.tv/TSOElite. If you are free, definitely hit us up, join the chat, and join in some of the conversation. If you are not watching this on them and you're watching it live, thanks for showing up. We really appreciate your support, guys. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be doing this. And just to show you guys how awesome you guys are, we've capped out our podcast host. So we usually get 100 gigs a month on our podcast host. We uploaded one episode, the first episode this month, and we capped it out. 100 gigs of bandwidth. It's less than 50 megs, isn't it?
Yeah, 50. It's a like a 55, 60 meg podcast. Yeah.
So that just shows how often or how many people are listening to us and getting and listening to our input. So again, this is all because of you guys. So we definitely appreciate you guys' support. It means a lot. As always, check out tisoelite.com. And that is all for this week. Here's an awesome outro.